within our country that struggle with mental health in 1 year. But what is mental illness? So mental illness is a medical condition that disrupts a person's thinking, their feeling, their mood, their ability to maintain relationships, and their daily functioning. And so while things like diabetes, which is a condition I have, is a condition of the pancreas, and yes, someone else has it as well, mental illness is a condition of the brain. And so when someone tells you that, I've got cancer, I have a heart condition, we show empathy and we show compassion. But when it comes to people with a mental illness, as a society, we don't understand what that is, and so there's a lack of empathy and understanding. And so people who have a mental illness can often feel alone, they can feel isolated, they can feel misunderstood, and they can feel rejected and on the fringes of society. And yet Jesus sees us all as unique and loved, and that definitely includes, I've actually just started on medication and it makes my mouth really dry. Don't you love side effects? And so when we look at passages in the Bible, and the one that we saw, we heard about this morning, many Christians actually do falsely believe that that recording is a man with a mental illness. You'll figure it out. And so they paint people who have a mental illness as being demon-possessed. But my first point is mental illness is not demon possession. And so when we have a look at that passage, it's recorded as demon possession. But we can see how people would, if we're going to be honest, in society think he had a mental illness. Because if you look at Luke that we read out, but also in Mark 5, the same story is within that book as well, some things, and let's be honest, do mirror mental illness. Living in isolation, because people with depression and anxiety and mental disorders tend to withdraw from society, mainly due to being misunderstood. He was crying out day and night, and he was cutting himself. But that's pretty much where the similarities end. Other things tell us that he was possessed by a demon. So strength to tear chains, if people tried to subdue him, he broke free. I don't know any man that could possibly do that, or woman. He didn't wear clothes. And the main thing is that when Jesus approached him, before Jesus even said anything, that man said his name. He knew that that was Jesus. And he called him the Son of the Most High God. People that had followed Jesus for years still didn't kind of get the concept that he was the Son of God. And so for that man to understand that that was Jesus approaching him, he had supernatural power. And that's how we can definitely know that that was demon possession. And you can read on to the story a little bit later when you get home about what happens and how Jesus still heals that man. But if you do imagine what that man's life would be like, he would have been outcast, he would have been feared, and yet Jesus still approached him. Jesus didn't see him as an outcast, and he was willing to engage him with a conversation and with compassion and to hear about what was happening with him. And now I fully believe in spiritual warfare and that Satan does try and use our weaknesses to his advantage. He uses our anxieties, our low moods, for me personally, a lot of negative self-talk. And he'll also use physical illness to try and pull you away from Jesus and from having your eyes fixed on God. But can, as believers, we be possessed by demons? No. For a Christian, demon possession is not possible because Christians have an indwelt Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 3:60, it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in us?" So the Holy Spirit literally dwells within us, and he will not tolerate the presence of an evil spirit. It's unbiblical, and it's actually really unimaginable that God would allow one of his precious children to be controlled by a demon. Our God is strong enough to reach us in our circumstances. He's strong enough to transform us as we walk on our Christian journey, and he's strong enough to keep us in his care. Now, my second point is we all have a thorn in our side. Now, people with a mental illness can struggle with the idea that when they become believers that their illness isn't just taken away. They can feel heavy and their hearts hurt because they wonder why God isn't really healing their mental struggles. But Jesus is still working within that, even though sometimes it can be really difficult to see. On the days when you feel so low that you can't get out of bed, or you cry until you have no tears left, and if someone says, why are you crying, you actually can't even vocalize what's going on. A lot of the time our heart doesn't align with the head knowledge that we have, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and that we're loved beyond measure. And our head can become a muddle of depression and anxiety, negative self-talk, or voices telling us to harm ourselves. And in those hours and those weeks and those days and those months, if they drag on, though they're hard and it's hard to see, God is still good. Now in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10, Paul says that he has a thorn in his flesh and it torments him. And he says he has pleaded with the Lord to take it away. And God's response to Paul, who was a great man, is, well, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And now we don't know what this thorn in Paul's flesh is. He doesn't say. But we do know that it causes him a great deal of pain. But it reminded Paul, and it can remind us as well, that it's not to, we don't boast in ourselves. We boast in Christ. Now, Paul gives us an example of a man who had a huge transformation in his life. And he did great work for the kingdom. He went from persecuting and killing Christians to planting churches. But the work that he did and all the people that he brought into the kingdom and all the great things that he achieved, it still didn't take away his earthly struggles. Yet time and time again in his writings, he points to Christ for his strength. So in the moments that you feel your weakest and your mental health, if that's something that you have, ill mental health, makes you feel like you're drowning, that is when you need to remind yourself that at that moment you're weak, but God's power and strength is going to be able to sustain you. And so my third point is praying through the pain. Now, as I said, many Christians struggle with mental illness and they get frustrated when nothing changes. Should we be praying for healing over our mental health and also those of people we love? Yes, of course, we should. But we also need to focus on praying that God is going to be glorified through our pain and through our suffering, and that we ask God to hold us and keep us and to be our comforter in those times. Knowing and loving Jesus doesn't mean that anxiety or depression is suddenly cured, but it does mean that we have a God who loves us, that walks with us, that strengthens us, and has compassion for us. And he is going to comfort you during those times of ill mental health. And praying when you specifically feel low and don't see much point is going to help you take your eyes off your own suffering and once again point them to God. So my fourth point is that Jesus is never going to leave you or forsake you. You know, the Bible is such a good source of comfort and truth, and it allows us to rest in the knowledge that we're not alone. Even in the moments when we actually feel incredibly lonely, and I know that you can be surrounded by people and still feel really lonely. And a few years ago, I spent 9 months, and that's not an exaggeration at all, crying for something that had happened that I found really soul-crushing. And I actually couldn't share it with many people. And that year, God gave me a verse, and I find it funny that God gives me one verse every year that really sustains me in that year, and it's different every year for my circumstance. And that year he gave me Psalm 34:18, and it says, the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And I would repeat that verse over and over again, and I would say to myself, well, I am brokenhearted, and so the Lord is near me, and I have a crushed spirit, and so God will save me. And I repeated it, and I repeated it, because it gave me so much strength and comfort. But it was also in those dark times reminding myself that that was the truth that I would sometimes forget. And he did save me and bring me through that time. And though at times I felt alone in that struggle, I knew God was there with me, and I didn't feel as lonely with that knowledge. And so there's lots of verses we can hold onto in Scripture to remind ourselves of God's goodness. Now in Ephesians 6, it talks about the sword in the armor of God, and it's an offensive weapon that we use, and it's to fight. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and it can bring us comfort, but it can also bring us great strength. And for those that have a mental illness, Scripture can be a great and powerful weapon to help your thoughts cling to God and the promises that he gives us. And if you commit to memorizing scripture, and I'll be the first to say I'm terrible at it because I have a terrible memory, it will come to you in your darkest moments, like a torch being turned on in darkness. So at the end, we're going to have a time of reflection with some verses that I thought may be helpful to you. And we're going to have a time of being able to sit there and just read through some of them. But two that I specifically love, and I have a whole list here, is Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And Hebrews 4:15. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so my fifth point is that Christ's strength allows us to ask for help, which can sometimes be the hardest part. So those who have a mental illness and have prayed for healing and it hasn't come, what do you do? Seek help. Talk to your doctor about how you're feeling. It's super, super important. There's no judgment from GPs or doctors about going in and saying, my mental health isn't great, I'm not really sure what's going on. They're all trained to talk about mental illness now, which is fantastic, and they want to help you. And they're gonna be able to help you if you're honest about your thoughts and emotions. But if you go to the doctor and they say, what's happening, and you say, oh, nothing, everything's fine, that's the only part they're gonna be able to work with. And so be honest about what's happening. And they may recommend that you see a counsellor or a psychologist to talk about things. Or they might even say that you need to go on some medication short term just to help you. Now, doing those things are going to help you. If you go and talk to someone, you're going to feel listened. You may have some trauma or something you need to work through. But it's going to give you some clarity and it's going to allow you to live a more active and balanced life. Is it going to be hard? Of course it's hard. It's hard to, though, and lay out emotions to people and work through things. But it's important to bring healing and restoration into that. And so if you do see a doctor about your mental health or counselling, or you see a psychologist or you go on medication, that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't any more invaluable in your life. You can still love and glorify Jesus with those things. And the sixth is to gather other believers around you for support. Make sure that you're not walking alone. Talk to the people around you, your family, your friends, your church community, the people here, your pastors. Talk to them about your mental health. The 1 in 5 statistic that we spoke about means that you are not alone. Just that statistic lets you know that there are 3.2 million other people. So statistically in this church, there'll be a whole bunch of you that are on the same journey. And so if you don't have a mental illness, also think about, well, how can I be supporting those people within my community that do? What's my responsibility? Checking in on them. If you know that they're having a struggle, dropping off a meal to try and ease the burden of a family, whatever it may be, pray for them and pray with them. And then find out practical ways that you can help them. And so if you're struggling with mental illness, recognize that it's a thorn in your side. May not be a great one, but we all have them. Pray through the pain, lean on scripture and seek help, and then gather support around you. So as I said, we're going to have a few moments. There'll be a slide with some scripture. So have a read through them and just sit within those verses and see if one stands out. And if one does, tag it in your book, highlight it on your app, whatever it is that you need to do. And then also have a think about what you need to be doing differently. Do you need to be praying more about your mental illness? Do you need to be relying more on scripture and really focusing on memorizing one of them? Do you need to be seeking help, making a doctor's appointment this week to go and speak to someone? Or maybe you need to gather some more supports and talk to your church family about what's happening. And then if you don't have a mental illness, how you can help within the congregation for those that may. So after a few minutes of reflection, we're going to have some people hand out communion, and then we'll take communion together.